Welcome, everybody. Everybody have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Good. This side did. That's all right. It's truly an honor to be here with my son, Aiden, as we wrap up our sermon series, Solid Rock series, where we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. Aiden is a junior at Trinity Bible College, and he is looking to go into full-time ministry to be a youth pastor. And he is going to be the fourth generation of ministers in our family. Both of my grandparents were pastors. My dad, sitting right over here, is a pastor. I became a pastor, and now Aiden and my other son, Ethan, are looking to go into full-time ministry. There's something mentally wrong with us. We need therapy. It's quite an honor to share the pulpit with my son Aiden as we wrap up the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus wraps up this message in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And we've been going through what this looks like and what Jesus is talking about. It's called the Sermon on the Mount because he went up on a mountaintop and began to preach. And we've been calling it the greatest sermon ever preached, right? Because, well, Jesus preached it. And he hits on all kinds of subjects. He hits on anger, he hits on lust, he hits on marriage, he hits on anxiety, prayer, fasting, all these different aspects of our lives that apply to our lives. Jesus touches on all of them. And then at the end of it, he basically says, all right, what are you going to do with what I said? And I think that's the question he asked for us every day. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with what I said? And Jesus gives an illustration here, and he gives an illustration of two houses, and really they're two lives. And he says there's a illustration of a person who hears my words and does them is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. Or there's another house who hears the words of Jesus but doesn't do them is like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And he says there's storms going to come against both houses. But the one who's able to withstand the storm is the wise man who puts into practice what Jesus just said. And the one who will not withstand the storm will fall when the storms come in in their life. And so let's read it. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 29. If you have your Bibles, follow along. The scriptures will be up on the screen. It says this: Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teachings, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this entire sermon, not just this part, but the entire sermon that you gave, how we are to live, how we are to put our life upon you, trusting in you, empowered by your Spirit. And so, Lord, as Aiden and I endeavor to just share some thoughts from your word, give us the words to say. I'll let your anointing be upon the words that we say, not upon what our craftiness or whatever may be, but upon your anointing. And Jesus, give us all ears to hear what the word of God says, and not just hear the words, but put it into practice as we're hearing today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we're gonna divide this up here today. Mm-hmm. Aiden's going to take and share with us some ideas of how we are to build our house, our lives upon the rock. And then I'm going to share a little bit what it looks like if your house is built upon the sand. So Aiden, why don't you take it away, man?
Yeah. So I'm Aiden, in case you didn't know that. But I'm from Trinity Bible College up in Ellendale, North Dakota. And don't you know that in North Dakota, they talk like this? That's not true. At least most of them don't. But speaking of Trinity, you mentioned that Jesus said that, what are you going to do with the words I just give you? What are you going to do with the things I just said? And I think most of my professors have said that multiple times during classroom at the end of class, saying, so what are you going to do with what I just taught you if you're asleep half the time? And so that sometimes happens. But speaking of Trinity, we have these principles that we follow, and one of them is building your house. And I actually learned this from our head of student life, Twyla. She brings this illustration of building your house. The story goes where a contractor gave a man $500,000 to build a house. And he said, use this money to build a house, but whatever you don't use, you can keep. And so the contractor, the builder, is like, all right, I'm going to build this house. He builds this house very cheaply, cuts corners, uses the least amount of money to build this house so he can keep the rest of it. And so he shows his contractor, look at this house I built. The contractor goes, great, now live in it. You may have kept that money, but you're going to live in the house that you built. And how she explains it, that's how you build your life at Trinity. What you use determines your house. And I think it applies very well to what building your life on a rock or building your house on the rock. And through that, we're going to look into Colossians 3. And we're going to go through up to 17, but I'm just going to break it down for you guys so you don't get bombarded with 17 verses at once, because we'll all lose track after verse 5, let's be honest. And so, speaking of a rock, rocks are used throughout the Bible. Jesus talks about building your life on a rock. In the book of Nehemiah, it talks about how Israel and Nehemiah built a wall out of stone and rock. In the book of Psalms, it talks about how God pulled us out of the miry clay and placed us on a rock. And in the book of Genesis, rocks are used to kill your brother. And so, for that example, Connor, can you come on stage real quick and work with that example? But let's dive into it.
I don't think people really got that joke. But
no, it's all right. You just need to read your Bibles. That's what I'm trying to say here.
I don't think they thought murder was funny, maybe. That's all right. Let's go back to the word.
Yeah, let's go back to the word. If then, if you have been raised with Christ, seek these things that are above, which where Christ is. See at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then also you will appear with him in glory. So the first point or the first tool I want to bring up is the tool of your mind. See, the book of Colossians was written to a book to the church in Colossia in Minor Asia area. Paul was writing to them. And it's interesting that he talks about you have been raised with Christ, seeking things that are above. See, this is not to get confused with salvation. This is like after salvation. After you've been saved by the grace of God, you have to set your things with Christ. For you've been raised with Christ, how Christ rose from the dead. And seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So it talks about, Paul talks about your mind first, of setting your mind on things. When you're building your house, you want to set your mind on things above. And you're wondering, okay, what are things above? Well, heavenly things. Like, talk about peace. Setting your mind to peace, to joy, to the fruits of the Spirit. And these things that you set your mind to, the rest will follow. Because where your head goes, so does your body. It's like when you're driving a car, and you know how the driver says, they tell you, don't look to the left or you'll drive your car into that area. Because it's your mind that's focusing on something else. But if you focus on things above, then your mind will go and your body will follow with you.
That's good.
And then point number two, tool of death. This is found in 5 through 11. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you may have put off the old self with its practice, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. So what that means is, you're wondering, put to death. Well, you have to kill your old self. I know that sounds weird and not culturally appropriate, but we have to kill our old self because it doesn't belong in our body anymore. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And the old cannot be in with the new. For example, when you're doing laundry or throwing away clothes, you take off your clothes, dirty clothes, and throw them in the laundry hamper and put on new ones. You don't put new clothes over our dirty clothes, then those new clothes are dirty because they're in that. So you have to put to death by throwing your old self in the laundry hamper and put on a new self daily. That's why you change clothes, hopefully, teenagers, sometimes, change clothes daily and do laundry. I hope most people know how to do laundry. That's the big key to this verse. And so you have to put on new clothes and you have to do it daily because we're not Christ. We're not perfect. We have to do this put to death daily, and we have to kill. It goes from mind now to your body. We're putting death your old self to build your house. Then, my last point, tool of armor. This is found in Colossians 12 through 17. It says, put on then, it's an action. We're putting on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Notice the difference between verses 5 and 12 when it talks about. Because put on death is all these deathly things. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness. But in verse 12, it's put on God's holy and chosen. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, the opposites. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you must also forgive. That's a command. We have to be putting on a new self, and that means we have to forgive others as well. We have to forgive ourselves even more, for God has forgiven you most. Mm. And above all these things, put on love, which just binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. We have to be thankful we're on a new self, even though it hurts. Even though it's different. Even though it's not what we're used to. Sometimes new clothes hurts. Sometimes putting on new things hurts because it's different. We don't like different. But we have to be thankful in that and be thankful for giving each other. In a world full of hate and slander and trying to one-up each other, sometimes we forget to be thankful and forgive. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything. Say that again. Everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks, there's that thankfulness again, to God the Father through him. And so once we set our minds on things above and we put to death on things that put to death our old self, we're gaining this new armor, this new clothes, so we can set our mind on the rock and continue to build. It's not an easy process. That's why in Romans it talks about sanctification and then glorification. We have to go through sanctification, which is a long process, to be in glorification. So we have to put on a new armor so we can continue to build our house on the rock.
Yeah, man, that's good. Hey, let's give a hand to Aiden for that. That was good. I like that, that just a reminder that that is not salvation. This is not earning salvation. This is a result of salvation, of trusting and walking in the grace that God has given you. And so I want to look what it means to build your house, what it looks like to build your house on the sand, because here's the thing. I think there's a lot of Christians in churches today who are thinking their house is being built on rock, but it actually is being built in sand. Because the verses right before this, Jesus says to them, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And so I think there's a lot of us who are in churches all across the world today who are lifting their hands and praising God and so forth, but their house is actually built on sand. And because they're not doing what God is saying, they're playing this part. And application is everything. Doing what God called you to do is everything. In January, there's going to be thousands of people who will join a gym. We'll have a gym membership, thousands of, and a lot of you might do that thing. This new year, I'm joining a gym, you know. And by like May, you haven't been to the gym in 2 months. You know, it's because application is everything. Bev came to me just last week and says, maybe we should cancel our gym membership. I haven't been to the gym since COVID. And it wasn't, and I could use COVID as an excuse, but it's just not true. And that thought in my mind was like, yeah, but it's there. I could always apply it sometime, you know. If I cancel it, there's that, it loses that. But application's everything. You got mm-hmm. You have to apply what God has said in your life. And Aiden has given us tools, you know, these tools to apply, putting our life upon the rock. And so how do you know if your life is on a rock or if your life is really being built in sand? And I think it has to do with desire, your desires in your life. 1 John 2:15-17 says this: "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eye and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." And so when we build our house when our house is on sand, we have to reflect and say, okay, where are my desires at? Mm-hmm. What are my passions for? What are the old King James says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the pride of life. Where are those desires? And so the first desire is the desire of flesh. And the desire of flesh says this is, I deserve to feel this way. I deserve to feel. It's all much about me. You know, Aiden read at the end of Colossians, whatever you do, in word and deed, do all for the glory of God, right? The desires of the flesh is all about me. People who build their house upon the sand have this me desire, what makes me feel happy. What I'm putting my efforts in life upon these things. If it looks great, on me, if I look great, if I have the right clothing, if I lose this amount of weight, if I gain this amount of muscle, then I will be happy. Your happiness and joy in your life are based upon what you get, what you think you deserve, and you're building your life on those things. I mean, you could build your life on hobbies, right? Golfing, hunting, fishing, hiking, whatever, quilting.
It's real.
It's a real hobby. I know.
I know a couple of people that do it.
Yeah.
They call themselves the grandmas. It's great. Yeah,
they call themselves the grandmas. So now listen, I love to golf. And I've golfed with some of you. And listen, you're not that good.
Ouch.
You know, and so some of you spend a lot of time, effort, and energy, and money on hobbies, cars, whatever. And if you're building your life upon that, if you're building your life upon it, you're building your life on sand. Not that those things aren't good. Those things are great. They're good. But that's not what we build our life upon, the desires of our flesh. Then there's the desires of our eyes. And if the desires of the flesh says, I deserve to feel this way, the desires of the eye says, I deserve to have. How many been somewhere, seen something you never seen before, never came across your mind before? Once you've seen it, you go, man, I really need that. You never thought of it before until you've seen it. And then suddenly you say, well, I really need that. You ever been car shopping? This past week, the last 2 weeks while Aiden's been in town, we've been car shopping for him. And it's interesting what happens when you go into a parking lot. How your budget increases. We started out with a budget of $3,000, then it went to $4,000, it went to $5,000, and we bought a car this past week for $7,500.
Go big or go home.
Go big or go home. So it's our this desire within us, I want to have this, I see this, and I want to have this. Again, none of these things in and of themselves are wrong, but if we're building our life on what I need, what I want, what I have. I categorize it in two ways. You have your savers and you have your spenders. And generally those two people marry each other. And there's always this constant friction with the savers and spenders. And the spenders say, man, I want the nicer car, or I want the nicer truck, I want the nicer house, I want to live in the nicer neighborhood. I want all these different things. And Jesus says earlier on in the sermon, he's talking about anxiety. And he gives an illustration and he says, consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin, yet they are beautiful. And so if you're looking for nicer things to make you happy, to fulfill your life, God already says, listen, you're beautiful because I made you. You are my beloved. And so those are the spenders, but the savers, man, they're worried about the stock market. They're worried about how much money they got in the bank. They're worried about, I got to have at least 6 months or even 12 months in savings. And again, none of these things are wrong, but if your hope is on that, if your hope is built on that, you're building your life on sand. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. So you have these desires of the flesh, you have the desires of the eyes, and next the pride of life. And the pride of life says, I deserve to be somebody. It's this comparison trap. Not just want to be rich, you want to be richer. Not just want to be smart, you want to be smarter. Mm-hmm. Not just want to be successful, you want to have more success. It's always, what's the next ladder of success that I can have? And this is the pride of life, that you build your life upon your personal achievements. The praise of man is more important to you than anything else. Of what they think about you, where your status is in life. And if you're doing this, you're building your life upon sand. And I think this pride of life happens within the religious circles as well. Look how much Bible I know. Look at how much I serve. Look at what I do. And basically, the religion, putting your life on religion, is self-help with a choir robe. It's there's really no difference there. So the rains come, the Bible says, the rains come on both houses. Mm-hmm. The storms come on both houses. And if your life is upon the sand, and what happens is if you're focusing on the flesh, guess what? You're going to get old. Mm-hmm. I hate to break that to you. Gravity happens. Hate to break that to you. Hobbies will come and go. Shutdowns will happen. And what happens to your hobby then? You know, you find a new hobby. So those things don't bring you fulfillment and joy. Those who build their desires on the eyes, the stock market at one point is going to crash. Mm-hmm. You may lose some money in your bank account. What then? To have nice things, the nice life, the nice car, the nice house, all those different things. You may build all those things up. Guess what? I have never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Mm. You can't take it with you. Those who are filled with pride. So you make it to the top of success. Great, but how's your family? How are the most important things in your life? Have you lost them along the way? You may have the biggest house in the neighborhood with 100 rooms. Guess what? You can only be in one room at a time. Mm-hmm. Just like the rest of us. And so, again, it's not wrong to have these goals and desires in our lives, but we need to build our life upon something that is solid, that is sure, that is a firm foundation, the Word of God. The Word of God. And surrendering to His will. I found this picture of this house. I'm going to pull this up. See this house here? This house was built by Russell King and Dr. LeBron Lackey. And they built this house in Mexico Beach, Florida. And this is a picture of it following Hurricane Michael. Theirs is the only house in that area that withstood the hurricane. They spent an extra $400,000 beyond code to make sure that this house was strong and safe. They went the extra lengths to build it, and they said, "We built to prepare for the big one." That was their thought process. They used certain types of paint that would withstand storms. They use certain construction levels. The pylons in the front there go 40 feet deep in the ground. I mean, they built it. It's solid rock thing. And so when the hurricane came, Hurricane Michael came, everything around it was destroyed. And so was it FEMA? FEMA that comes in? They actually stayed in their house. The only thing that was damaged in their house after the hurricane was there was a crack mirror in one of the bathrooms. That was the only thing that that was damaged. They said, when you build your house where the storm is going to hit, you have to build your house strong. That's what they said. But I want you to notice something here. Next slide there, Connor. Look right behind it. There's a house built right behind it, snuggled up behind it. And this house had some damage done to it, and it suffered some structural damage, but it withstood. And I thought this was really interesting. If you build your house solid on God's word, the people closest to you can also weather the storm. Your family members, those who you love, those who you care about, those who are close to you, they may not be building their house on the rock yet. But if you are, as parents, as teachers, as leaders, as aunts, as uncles, as cousins, if you are, those who are closest to you can handle the storm as well because they're close to somebody who has built their house solid. So the question is, what have you built your house on? What is your life on? Is it on the desires of this world? And I'm telling you right now, if you build your house on the desires of this world, the storm that's going to happen, because it's going to happen, the storm that's going to happen, your life is going to falter. Mm-hmm. Your life is going to fall. But if you build your house using the tools that Aiden says, set your mind on things above. Mm-hmm. Take off the old stuff. Put to death your old life. Put on the new self. And put your life upon God's word. Man, that storm, when it hits, you may be shaken a little bit. You may be pushed back a step or two, but you're going to withstand. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says the peace of God and the strength of God is ours. So where are you building your life? I just pray that as we enter into this new season, everybody says, oh, I can't wait for 2021. Like January 1st is going to change everything. But what does change is everything is you deciding, I'm going to put my life upon Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He is the sure foundation because we do not know what 2021 is going to bring. This time last year, we were all saying, 2020, vision, new year, great things. And now we're like, oh my gosh, I'm barely walking. Build your life upon Jesus Christ. So would you just pray with me right now? Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this Sermon on the Mount and all that it talks about, that when we put our life upon you, when we put our hope in you, our life is on a sure foundation. It's solid. It's solid. So when the storms of health, financial, fear, whatever may come, they won't penetrate us because our life is on you. And Lord, help us to trust in you today, tomorrow, next week, this next year, that our hope is sure in you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand, and we're going to sing that song, Build My Life Again, and make this a prayer for you for 2021. Man, I encourage you once again to put Jesus first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added unto you as well. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. I guess I'll see you all next year. So take care. God bless you.